need backup. I'm transmitting my location.
Don't need backup.
That's nobody.
Manual override.
What do you think you're doing?
I'm driving.
By hand?
Do you see me on the phone?
You can't be serious. Not at these speeds. John,
that's from the Will Smith movie I, Robot. You can hear the surprise when he tries to actually drive a car by himself. Off the big screen, though, the sentiment is typically just the opposite. Research shows a lot of people are uncomfortable with the idea of self-driving cars. One company doing testing on autonomous vehicles here in the Valley is trying to change that. Waymo has launched a campaign called Let's Talk Self-Driving Here, which describes the benefits of taking our hands off the wheel. With me to talk about all of this is Hillary Abraham. She's a research specialist at the MIT Age Lab. Her work focuses on trust in automation and adoption of advanced driver assistance systems. And Hillary, first off, what do you make of this new effort by Waymo?
I think it's really exciting, and I think it's really great. Part of the issue with trust and adoption of automation right now is it's an intangible thing. It's not something that people have experienced in their daily lives, especially when it comes to fully self-driving cars. And we have a lot of reports in the media of both positive and negative aspects of self-driving cars. So actually bringing that to people in a way that they can experience it and making the benefits of automation clear to everyone, I think, is a really powerful strategy.
You guys have done some research, and there's been other research as well, looking at how comfortable people are with driverless cars and how comfortable or not comfortable they are sort of with the terminology. And it seems like in this area, at least, semantics really do seem to make a difference.
They do seem to make a difference. And unfortunately, the difference that they're making isn't always accurate. So drivers tend to be confused about all of the different terminology that's out there for autonomous features. And their confusion isn't really, it's not being clarified in a way that is consistent across the industry. So we have a lot of different names for systems that maybe do similar things, but go about it in different ways. And because there is a lack of consistency across the industry, it means drivers really need to be actively involved in investigating what the system that they're interested in purchasing is designed to do and when is appropriate to use that system. But unfortunately, finding that information is an investment, and it's one that not everyone is willing to do.
Is it just a matter of getting people to understand what they're dealing with, to make those who are not comfortable with the idea of fully autonomous vehicles comfortable with them? Are there other things that these companies are going to have to do to get people comfortable with them, either to own them or to be around them on the roads?
I think that it's a good start. There are a number of things that people are concerned about when it comes to fully self-driving cars. In a study that we did recently, we found that it's not just confusion about the features, but it's also concerns about reliability or safety, just the newness and having it be untested. People are concerned about having self-driving cars along with human drivers on the road, and there are some concerns about hacking.
Is there another technology that comes to mind for you that when it was first introduced and was first being tested and people first started hearing about it and coming into contact with it that, you know, people were maybe a little bit nervous about it or not quite sure what to make of it? And then after some amount of time passed, people couldn't imagine their lives without it?
I think most technologies, as they start to be introduced into the market, have some sort of unease about maybe not just the technology itself, but how useful it would be. So 20 years ago, cell phones and especially smartphones were really something that most people, I think, didn't see the value in and didn't want to be attached to their phones all the time and didn't think that it would be something that everyone had. Now we see six-year-olds have their own smartphones, so it's become something that's really pervasive in society. I think self-driving cars, once they start to be released and people start to see them more frequently and they're more accepted in society, they too will fall along that path of adoption. The difference here between self-driving cars and something like smartphones is the risk in the event of a malfunction is a lot higher. So if your smartphone crashes, all you have to do is restart it or maybe take it into a store and get it replaced. But if your self-driving car malfunctions, the concern is that your life is at stake.
Well, do you think that given the magnitude of the potential risk, at least in people's minds anyway, do you think that that means that the adoption of self-driving cars might take a little longer than something like cell phones or smartphones?
Absolutely. I think it will take a lot longer, not just because of the risk, but also because of the expense, but especially because of the risk.
I'm wondering if you think that given that, that some of the earlier adopters of autonomous vehicles, once they start really getting rolled out, might be more commercial uses than personal uses, that, you know, companies will use them for deliveries or for, you know, there's been talk of maybe Waymo offering an Uber or Lyft-like service. If it's going to be more of a commercial use to get people used to it before sort of the masses start buying them.
Yeah, I absolutely think that commercial use will be crucial to eventual adoption, widespread adoption of self-driving cars, not only because it will become more commonplace and people will see it more frequently, but also it is somewhat easier to implement self-driving in isolated locations that have been fully mapped in order to allow the automation to work. It's a lot easier to put self-driving cars in those situations than just giving it to a driver in some remote area of the country that maybe they don't even have an accurate GPS right now.
Are there particular parts of the country or particular cities that you think might be on the early end of this? I mean, Phoenix, for example, has a good number of autonomous cars on the road in test phases. Could a city like Phoenix maybe be on the early end of the adoption calendar, do you think?
Yeah, I do think so. I think that the cities that will probably take the longest are some of the northern cities. So one thing that Waymo hasn't done too much, at least to my knowledge, is exploring testing in cities that do get a lot of snow or inclement weather. I'd be interested to see Waymo come to Boston and deal with all of our crazy roads and, and blizzards.
Yeah, try to navigate behind a plow or something like that.
Exactly. So I do think some cities will be on the earlier end, particularly in on the West Coast and in the southern United States. And it might take a little bit longer for all of us here in the cold weather states.
All right. Hillary Abraham is a research specialist at the MIT Age Lab in Massachusetts. Hillary, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.